I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Will Mitchell Trubisky have another multi-touchdown game on Sunday? How many touchdowns will he throw, and will he have more than 40 rushing yards?
Mitch will, yes, throw two touchdowns on Sunday, and he will not break 40 yards rushing. He will rush for less than 40 yards, maybe 38, I'll say, on the over-under, but he will throw two touchdown passes, and I don't know how many other points the Bears will score, but I think he'll score 14.
I think he will. I think he's going to have an efficient game because it's one of those things where we hear all week about how his confidence is better, he's playing freer, and he doesn't have as much at stake as the first time when they played. And
right.
that's the big thing. Free of pressure, Mitch Trubisky has been decent. And when driving up here last night, I was listening to the Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Jeff Joniak. They had an amazing statistic that I think says a lot about where Mitch Trubisky is and has been and how much confidence and playing free matters. After interceptions, the last 2 weeks, so he throws an interception, he exhales, he's like, okay, I don't have to worry about making a mistake anymore. I made my mistake, I'm just going to play football. 30 of 38, 380 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 rushing TD, and here's a big one, 10 yards per completion. So it's almost like after he makes a mistake, then he's like, oh, well, what can go wrong now? I'm just going to play. I'm just going to be myself. The pressure is off. I think he has more than – I think he probably throws two touchdown passes, and he does have more than 40 yards. I think he's going to be a factor.
Whoa.
Sunday.
Okay.
Morning, boys. Let's get him to warm up with the Packers then. Hi, guys. Let's get him to warm up with the Packers. Let's have him throw that pick before the game, and we'll see those numbers. No, I think he has two touchdowns, Mully. I'm in agreement with you. I don't think he gets to 40. I'm guessing that Green Bay is on the lookout for running Mitch as much as we like him. But I do expect this to be a close game, and I'm actually looking forward to it, which is a nice thing because at the middle of this season, it didn't look like we'd have much to look forward to with the Bears down the stretch here. But, hey, they're 7-6. Mathematically, they're still alive. You're saying there's a chance? Yes, I am. That the Bears can win on Sunday.
You know, Mitch, week one versus Green Bay, maybe his worst game of the year, 26 for 45 and an 18.5 quarterback rating, just 3 rushes in that game for 11 yards. You would figure that all of the numbers would be better this time around. He's playing better. Maybe the play calling is more suited to him at this point, and the team has more confidence, and maybe they're not pressing anymore. They don't feel that the pressure's on. Well, the pressure's definitely going to be on Sunday. So I'm thinking that maybe we're not going to see the same Mitch we saw against the Dallas Cowboys, but I think it will be a better performance that he put in week one. It won't be that difficult to do. I don't know if he'll have another multi-touchdown game. I think he'll throw one. I think he'll rush for one, and I think he'll have more than 40 rushing yards. Yeah.
Well, I'll take more than one rushing touchdown. I'll take one passing touchdown. I'll take over 40. I think he has to be able to run the ball.
How many touchdowns do you have him scoring?
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, okay.
One throwing, one rushing. But I think our guy Nick Casas, I texted with him yesterday, he's going to try to get the props ahead of time. You know, we're talking about this right now. It kind of sets that up. Like, I'll be very curious. I would guess, not bet, but I'll guess right now that his over-under for touchdowns will be at 1.5. Okay, that's a good set number, and I would say under. But if you go total touchdowns, it might be over under 2.5, right? And that might be the better bet. I could see him rushing for some. Okay, but he has if Mully, if you're close on that number that we've set here, yeah,
like
I think if they, if you
to
think
win,
they're going
to win, be more than 40.
If they're going to win, he has to be at 40. You know, you said it. You set the number. I believe if you think they're going to win, it has to be more than 40. If you don't think they're going to win, then it's going to be under 40.
It's a realistic number.
I think they're going to win. Yeah. I think it's going to be really, really close. We're going to get there at the fifth question. But I think all of these things are over for Mitch.
Well, I think that's a great question. And for us, it's pretty easy.
How much will it damage the Bears' special teams if Cordarrelle Patterson can't play? Is special teams an area the Bears can win in this game, or does cold weather Eddie Pinheiro prevent that?
I don't. I think it's kind of mean-spirited, whoever came up with that question. I think he is a potential liability in the conditions on Sunday because the temperature, it's not supposed to get out of the teens. And I don't know what to expect from him, and I don't think that Chris Tabor kind of making light or underselling that is helping matters because it just is he doesn't give anybody any sort of confidence. Cordarrelle Patterson not playing could be a factor in the return game more than the coverage game. I think obviously he has been very good in coverage, but it's something you didn't expect, and it's something they're probably well covered in terms of having depth behind him. If you have a guy who can change the game and change an offensive series the way that Cordarrelle Patterson can, like he did against the Lions, like he has all season long, that's going to be a bigger factor for your offense, which needs all the help it can get. So if he cannot go on Sunday and him popping up on the injury report was a surprise, then I think that's a bigger factor. I'm not even sure that Eddie can overcome that one.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think Cordarrelle Patterson is a much more dangerous, a much bigger threat on special teams than he is in the offense. They don't seem to have incorporated him at all into the offense, even seeing what he managed to do last week. With one play, by the way, they didn't. It's not like they worked to get the ball to him again or took advantage of that. I think Cordarrelle Patterson has been a big mark against Tressman this year. Tressman, I kept going Mark Tressman.
It's a mark against him,
Nagy,
too.
Matt Nagy. Yeah, he's a mark against all of them. Let's be honest. I think that Patterson should have been used better on offense, and it's been a huge problem for them. The Packers, this blew my mind when I saw the statistic. They had negative yardage on punt returns. I don't know if they've managed to get 5 yards, but I don't think they've broken anything on their punt returns. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about covering that because apparently they can't return the ball. And I don't know about how good they are on kickoff returns. I think that if you're kicking off a lot in the game, you're feeling awful good about yourself. So I'm going to say that it comes down to Eddie Pinheiro. If Patterson is out, you lose a coverage guy and you lose a kicker, all right, kick return guy and a guy that can make a big impact. That's not good. But if it's Eddie Pinheiro, I think you're in trouble. And I think that, you know, we joked about it yesterday. If you got a long field goal, you just go for it on fourth down. I mean, that's what's going to happen. We have seen that they will not go for field goals beyond probably 45 yards.
What's the number? Is that the number
Sunday? I think it's 45. It might be 44.
Because all it's going to be is cold.
Yes.
It's going to be pretty.
But, David, you've seen this kid, and you've seen the way the coach has handled him. Don't you think watching them go for fourth and six and fourth and eight in the last 3 weeks, don't you think that it's unlikely that he's going to suddenly try to kick a 50-yard field goal in Lambeau?
They're a lot more concerned than their special teams coordinator suggested the other day when he was sort of glib about, you know, what you could do with him and what you can't.
Lambeau!
Guys, I think the Cordarrelle Patterson on offense discussion is another discussion entirely that we should have, because remember when they signed him, that was like, oh, he could play running back. He could catch the ball as a receiver. You know, he talked about himself. Cordarrelle talked about, hey, I'll play tight end. You know, give me a chance. That's a whole nother discussion. If he can't play, certainly it hurts the Bears' return game. I think special teams, though, specifically kicking, is an area where the Bears could lose the game. And I had to look this up. I know Mason Crosby's been there forever, but he's been kicking for Green Bay since 2007. So I relate this to the old Robbie Gould feeling. You knew at Soldier Field, Robbie Gould was, as Jeff likes to say, good as gold, right? Mason Crosby for the Packers is that type of guy. Eddie Pinheiro is a first-year kicker, and we've certainly seen the ups and the downs with Eddie Pinheiro. So if it comes down to the kicking game, I'm a little bit worried that favors the Packers.
When I thought Mason Crosby was going to be a Bear.
Yeah, I do.
Simpler times, David, simpler times.
Hey, by the way, Kevbo is playing hurt today. Did you know that? Kevin attempted to give me the flu or something.
Are you feeling all right?
Into a room. I feel a little uneasy just about you and the ways that you attack me.
I thought it's because Les was driving up there.
He tends to get himself ill to get to me. Yeah, no. But good man, Kevin. Bless you,
thank
sir.
I didn't even see your name on the injury report.
I know. It's, I was going to pop up on it like Cordarrelle Patterson did yesterday. Very disconcerting to see him on that injury report. I don't know, offensively, you know, how much he was going to contribute. He had that one big play against Dallas. It was a huge play, actually, but he's very inconsistent on offense. One of the reasons that he has been on so many teams over his career as a first-round pick. But, you know, in the special teams game, whether it's return game, coverage game, he's been huge. The big play against the Giants where he knocked the ball off the goal line to pin them back, setting up the offense and Mitch and giving them short fields with returns, I think that's huge. They're going to need that if they want a chance to get into the end zone often enough. So if he's not in there, it's going to be a big problem because I have no trust in Eddie Pinheiro whatsoever. I don't think he has earned any trust at all so far this season with his play. And if it comes down to a kick on Sunday, I think that's a really, really bad spot for the Bears.
Just start the Toradol drip right now and make sure that he's out. You need that guy. That guy is needed. Now, if all of a sudden comes game time and he's out, my pick might change on that game. That's how important. Again, it's going to be the little things on Sunday. This is not going. I don't see either team winning by 14 points. It's going to be the little things, which makes the Eddie P thing interesting, right? But it's Friday. It's 5:38-ish in the morning right now. I don't have a clock right in front of me.
5:34.
5:34.
And 45
I'm
seconds.
Don't rush
ahead.
Us.
Like, I'm not going to get on Eddie P yet. Like, if there's a need to get on Eddie P come Monday morning, I'll be first in line. But right now,
calling him Eddie P seems like you're getting on
him. It does seem a little bit like you're getting on him.
I'm shortening his name. Is that why?
But Dustin, just okay. I love your kind of just give him a shot and put him out there, rub some dirt on it. It's a head injury. So if he's got a concussion from practice.
Okay, so take a couple of extra Tylenol.
No.
Big boy Advil.
Oh, my God. What year is this? Yeah,
give me a break. What year is this? It's Packer week, David. Okay? They're not playing the Lions. Okay? They're not. I mean, Mitch, that's another thing. We're not even getting
in. Hey,
does Mitchell Trubisky know it's Packer week?
That's another team on our schedule. We want to get to our goals at the end of the year. We have to beat the team that's in front of us.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
Did the White Sox do enough at the winter meetings, and will Yasmani Grandal's contract remain the biggest in team history by the start of the season?
Well, I think the answer may be in that question because I think it sounds like there is not a lot of belief that the Sox are going to go ahead and pay a lot of money in free agency. Yeah, the Sox didn't do enough. They need to do more. That's not saying that they won't do more. I'm trying to listen to Rick Hahn and evaluate everything when it's all said and done. But if they go out and start trading guys because they're unwilling to sign people in this kind of a baseball atmosphere, then no. Not only did they not do enough, but shame on them. So I'm waiting to see them spend money in free agency. I don't want to watch them make a trade for some washed-up pitcher.
Man, it's early. They needed to have things fall into place. And I think this week was about seeing where the market left you at the end of the winter meetings because you had to get Strasburg signed. You had to get Garrett Cole signed. And then you had to figure out who was left of the – I don't want to say the big three, the semi-big three. The three guys in Bumgarner, Keuchel, and Ryu, who doesn't look like he's talking to the White Sox, according to reports – but also, there's some.
Do you mean he just won't talk to them, or they're not talking to him?
I don't think they're in
one way.
In on him, yeah. Keuchel seems to be the one that pops up most often in the reports. And also, now there's a different level of trade discussion because of where those other two guys landed and because of what's going on with the Red Sox. The Red Sox are talking about dealing David Price. The White Sox have been linked to that conversation.
That's great. What happened the last time they traded for a guy from that Tampa staff?
Oh, you're not going to give him. Yeah.
I'm not.
You still have the Tampa stink on him? Come on.
No.
James Shields.
The trade for the Tampa stink. What happened? What did they give up?
Separate story.
Is it?
Things have to fall into place, and I think everybody definitely is getting impatient because this offseason they jumped the gun when they got Grandal. They paid him what he was. You know, it's going to end up being a very good deal for the White Sox, I think. But I don't believe that by the beginning of spring training, that's going to be the richest contract that they hand out over the winter. I do believe they're going to end up getting a nice pitcher that has more Thank money you. Committed to him than the catcher.
I feel calm now.
If they don't, there will be rioting on the south side, I predict, because I think after the Grandal signing, people were expecting big things. Rick Hahn indicated as much. Hey, it's time to spend. We're going to contend this year. This is the beginning of our ascent. And so you started with a bang. You were the first one out of the gate, and you've done very little since then. The Mazzara trade, I mean, I like it, right? I tend to agree with what Rick said yesterday is, you know, they're better with him than they were without him, and that is probably not their last move. But if they had to start the season with him in right field, then so be it. It's still better than where they're at. You've got Grandal. You re-upped Abreu. You're going to have Louis Robert in there. And I'm with you guys. I think they have to sign a pitcher. I think they will sign a pitcher. I never expected them to go after Cole or Strasburg. Maybe that's, you know, maybe their expectations should be higher than what we've set them at. But, you know, we'll see where they settle here with the Bumgarners and the Dallas Keuchels of the world. But I do think that if Grandal's contract is the biggest one on their free agency win list after the offseason, that there will be some difficult conversations with Sox fans.
It's kind of insulting to White Sox fans that the largest contract in team history is $73 million when you see teams giving, you know, $245 million or $300 million, or even with the Cubs, where they gave Jason Hayward $130, whatever it was. They gave Zobrist $70 million. I mean, it's insulting. Jerry Reinsdorf says he wants to win, but he wants to win on his terms by, you know, pinching every penny and being a cheapskate and just getting by with the bare minimum. And Espo, you're right. I mean, they're better with Mazzara technically than they were last year in right field. But last year for right field for the White Sox, one of the worst, you know, piles of trash you've ever seen in Major League history, from, you know, Ryan Cordell to Daniel Polka to whomever else they threw out there. I mean, anything would have been an upgrade. You could throw Dustin out there in right field and he might be an upgrade over what they offered last season. So if the White Sox don't give out another contract to a pitcher or another player that can help the offense or somebody else to just bring more talent into this team, you have to pay for it. It's going to be insulting and it's going to be a disaster. Rick Hahn, you're right, at the beginning of the offseason said, we're going to push forward, we're going to hit the gas pedal here, and now he's already starting to talk that back. It's just insulting.
Is Kevin really going to make me defend the White Sox?
How's your range,
I mean,
Dustin?
That's what you're doing here. I mean,
why don't you do it, like, somehow drag the Cubs into it while you do it? That's the way you would like to roll.
Well, since you said that, there is a little time. I do think that both the Cubs and the White Sox should be talking to the Red Sox about David Price. I think there's still something there. I think he just needs to get out of Boston. David Price. I think he'll be okay.
If you sign David Price to a 3-year, $96 million contract.
He's already signed it,
as
right?
a free agent. I know, but if he were a free agent and those were the terms, wouldn't you say, okay, that's the price of playing poker. The White Sox have a veteran left-hander that they need, right?
And I think the White Sox are willing to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think the White Sox are being cheap. There's a stigma issue. There's an issue with 35th and Shields. There's an issue with coming to a city where you walk in and you are, it is what it is, you are the second team in Chicago. The White Sox have tried, okay? I mean, so that they have to pay $50 million more than anybody else? Would $50 million have gotten Zach Wheeler's fiance
I think maybe
to come to Chicago?
More. Maybe
five?
If we were seven over. They say in America, in order to be considered a millionaire, you need $7 million. Have you ever heard that? People who are millionaires.
I listen to the show, yes.
They don't
I
feel
have.
Comfortable unless they have $7 million. I read that maybe on the elevator. And no, I don't think $2 million would matter to a guy making whatever
right.
he got.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It needs to be $50 million. Right. I mean, I'm saying, how much more do the White Sox have to overpay in order to get somebody to put the black and white on?
Maybe just a nice wedding gift.
Some china.
That Cartier watch wasn't enough for Jake Arrieta's wife.
You're not going to tell us what
no,
to write?
No. Yeah. Honestly, like, I would, if you have other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I've been happy to answer them all the time.
Which is more likely to happen first with the winter meetings over, the White Sox sign a top starter or the Cubs trade Chris Bryant?
Well, I'll say this. The Chris Bryant trade speculation is not as easy for me to dismiss after writing about it this week, talking about it this week, and talking to people who are in a position to know how serious these rumors should be taken and how likely this is to happen. And I think it's a lot more further along than maybe even I thought when we talked about it at the beginning of the week. So I would be concerned if I'm a Chris Bryant fan and you're looking at the Cubs and you're looking at next season. I think these are going to be serious conversations that they have once the third base market tends to settle down, once we find out where Josh Donaldson goes. So in terms of likelihood, that's probably more closer to reality than I think Cubs fans should be comfortable with. That said, the White Sox have to. They have to get a pitcher. They have to get a top starter. You know, we can rant about everything they haven't done and how embarrassing it is, the money they haven't spent. It's, again, like talking yesterday, it's like reviewing a movie three-quarters of the way through it. You're halfway through the offseason. This is not over yet. You're not into the convention yet. I think the White Sox will sign a top starter. We can debate whether or not it's going to be a good one or not, but I'm not sure that we can debate whether or not they're going to stand pat, because there's no way they can stand pat. So that, to me, is a certainty, and Chris Bryant is more of a likelihood. So I think the certainty outweighs the likelihood.
Yeah, a top starter is what is giving me pause in this. If they sign Keuchel, is that a top starter? Probably, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if they trade for someone, does that count as them signing? Is acquiring?
The word like acquire signing? Should be probably substituted
okay.
in there. Yeah.
I don't want to get into semantics, yeah. But I think you're right. The White Sox will start the season with another starter at the top of the rotation. I think they'll start the season with two more in the rotation, but one will be someone that we've all heard of. So that's going to happen. I also think that Chris Bryant is getting traded. I just think the problem with the Bryant trade goes back to this arbitration about the free agent year. So you're not going to trade him until a team is not going to trade for Chris Bryant, give up what they know they're going to have to give up and the amount of money he's going to cost in a couple of years, and then deal with this idea that, oh, we only get him for 1 year. I think that you'll have to, if you're going to move him now, I think he'll lose the arbitration, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's that big a concern, but I think a team will have to cover himself. So in order to cut that trade, you would have to figure out a way to cover a one-year Chris Bryant versus a two-year Chris Bryant. That might be more difficult than it seems to be on the surface. So rather than make a trade, because the names could change within that trade, you will have to figure out a way to either wait until you have that arbitration ruling or have like a dual contract that you throw something else in if it doesn't happen the way, you know. Oh, and then if it doesn't work out, we'll give you Jason Hayward.
I'm sure they'd be all over that. The White Sox thing we kind of touched on in the last question, I do think they sign a pitcher that probably becomes their number one starter. I mean, if you trade for Price or if you sign Bumgarner or Ryu, I mean, those guys are starting on opening day, right? And no disrespect to Lucas Giolito, but wouldn't you have a David Price or a Madison Bumgarner start on opening day?
Giolito's your opening day starter.
Even if you sign Madison Bumgarner,
yes.
You start
still
Giolito.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. He's your guy.
All right.
He's
well,
your guy,
I just,
Espo.
I disagree with my own reservations there, but 2015 and 2016 me is very distressed that the Cubs are going to be trading Chris Bryant, because this is certainly not something that you would have envisioned as he was coming up, and then certainly as he was helping you win a World Series in 2016 or winning the Rookie of the Year in 2015. And I'm a little surprised. I know the Cubs have some bad money committed to Jason Hayward, for example, the guy that we just mentioned, but that the Cubs aren't getting more grief for, I mean, be the big market team that you are. I don't care about anything else, but if you're strategy is trading Chris Bryant and Wilson Contreras because you need younger, cheaper pieces, where is the outrage with that? I would think Cubs fans would be a lot more upset about the idea of trading one of your best players from your World Series core.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous that we're even talking about trading Chris Bryant. I mean, Chris Bryants don't grow on trees. And David, you had a great story about it the other day about, you know, everything they've asked of Chris Bryant, he's done, and then some. You know, he doesn't cause waves. He comes up, he just plays baseball. He's unflappable. He was the Rookie of the Year. He was the MVP. He hit 300 in the World Series. People say, oh, he doesn't come up big in big moments. He hit over 300 during the World Series. Moments don't get any bigger than that. And the fact that they are shopping this guy around is just baffling to me. And I thought Theo Epstein was a lot smarter than that. If it is in fact Chris Bryant that's going to be on the move, I will lose a lot of I don't want to say a lot of respect for the Cubs brass, but it's going to make me question some of their decision making, certainly. And Mully, I'm kind of with you on the first part of this. I don't know that there's a top starter left for the White Sox. I think that the top starters are probably all off the board right now. And when you add somebody now to the rotation, one or hopefully two, they're going to need two arms, I believe, in the rotation. But it's going to be more back end taking a flyer on a guy. I mean, I'm not a huge Rick Porcello fan, but you can't give him a one-year deal worth $10 million. He signs with the Mets. I mean, talk about being the second team in a city. If you're going to sign with the Mets, I'm sure you can come to the White Sox. Alex Wood, reclamation project, I guess, is an option out there. But I think the White Sox have already swung and missed on the top starters available, and that's just kind of one of the other things that has irked me about the offseason so far.
Do we know where Porcello's wife is from?
Unconfirmed at this time.
Look that up before it's your next turn there, Kevin. Put it in the Google machine. Chris Bryant, I don't know how you can trade him when you don't know what his future is. Mully, you've talked about it when you did your answer to this question. Unless somebody's willing to overpay not knowing the parameters.
You will know. You'll know within.
It might take another month.
But that's my point to answering the question.
You said it could take another month or 2 months.
You know you're going to have at least 1 year of control. Right? That's for sure. You just don't know if you're going to have two or one. So if you really want the guy, and I understand why teams would want the guy, go ahead. The question is, and we've talked about it before, Chris Bryant was great in the World Series. Kevin is right. Chris Bryant last year was awful against the Cardinals and the Brewers. He was awful. Okay, but he also wasn't really healthy. But a 70% Chris Bryant is still better than most guys at 100%, even at the major league level. The problem is Chris Bryant, I don't know if he knows the difference between an ouchie and an injury. Mully, you've also talked about it, and you're right. You know, the idea that he has to be 100%. Everything has to be exactly the way Chris Bryant wants it in order for Chris Bryant to go out and attack it. So, yes, I do expect the Sox to add air quotes, quality. If you're a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, you're a good pitcher. You're really good. There's only a handful
Tyler
of these
Chatwood.
Guys. So yes,
Chatwood
still available.
Same guy that came to mind.
It's Chatwalk to you, Kevin.
By the way, Rick Porcello's WAG, his wife and/or girlfriend, she's from Boston, so maybe they met when she was living there. And it will shock you to learn that she's very attractive.
He's siding with the Mets.
Has Wheeler gotten married yet?
I have not gotten the save the date deal? Yet. I haven't received my save the date, so we'll see about that.
Where are they registered?
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
Will the Bears be flexed out of
Real Housewives
prime time?
Of New Jersey.
And who wins the Bears-Packers rematch and by what score?
You know, I really hate having to go first here because I usually base my answer on what other people think, right? I really like to be the guy that gets to cherry pick, and I'm not allowed to. I don't know. I'll take the Packers 19 to 17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it'll be close, and I think they're getting 4.5 for the game, so you can go ahead and bet it. But
I thought you were going the other way. I thought maybe you were leaning the other way.
No, I was leaning the other way, but I want to know.
All right, so this is a tough one because I think it's hard to look at this game and forget that Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. And I think the Packers have 10 victories, and they have a situation with their head coach that he has done everything asked. And this is a very good team headed to the playoffs. That said, right now the Bears are playing better. The Bears are playing better. They have more momentum, and I think there's a desperation factor surrounding the Bears that doesn't surround the Packers. And on Sunday at noon, finally a noon Sunday where the Bears and Packers are playing. I love the primetime atmosphere, but this is noon Sunday at Lambeau Field. The Bears go in there. The one thing about the Packers' defense, as much as you respect it, they have third in takeaways in the league, but they also give up more big plays, 40-plus yards than any team in the NFL, 16. The Bears have to think big. The Bears have to play free. The Bears have to play fearless offensively, and I think that they have to use that approach to complement a running game, let Mitch use his legs, and I think that they can control this game if they do that. The defense is going to get a boost, Akeem Hicks being back, Prince Amukamara being back. I'm going Bears 21-20.
Bold move there by Mr. Haw. I will still take I'm still going to take the Packers in a tight one. I am not ready to give the Bears this much. Everything screams at me that this is going to be a close game. The Bears defense is going to keep you in. Hicks and Amukamara being back is certainly going to be a boost for that unit. I think your wild cards here are Mitch and Eddie Pinheiro. And on both of those, if you had to pick a side on those, I'm afraid, and I'm not saying this to be nasty, that you would lean on, if you're using your logical brain, you would lean on that favoring the Packers. So I'm going to take Green Bay 24, Bears 21.
See, usually when I'm making a pick and I want to pick the Bears, I say it's important for them to win the turnover battle, make the quarterback throw interceptions. Aaron Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over very much. He's very good at not doing that. That being said, the Bears are playing well, and maybe I'm just hoping that they win, and I'm trying to wish it into existence here, but I think the Bears win 21-17.
Why are we not answering the flexing part of the question again?
No, they're not going to be flexed.
Okay. I mean, God, we are sweet.
Well,
The
answer is
kind of easy.
If you say if they win, yeah. then you're saying yeah,
I disagree.
That's it.
I disagree.
Do you think they can lose and not get flexed?
Absolutely.
Why would they announce it this week then?
Because it's Chicago. They're not gonna pass up on. Why would you pass up on Chicago and Patrick Mahomes? Especially going back to Mully's point in the first segment of the show about the fact that in last night's broadcast, we didn't hear about the quarterback comparisons. You could get so wasted in the pregame show next Sunday night doing a shot every time we hear about Mahomes and Watson and Trubisky. You just shot. You'd be on the floor. You won't even make it to halftime. Okay? I'm so sick of it. We care because we get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. But nobody else cares whether it's flexed or not. Okay? That game is going to be played on Sunday night, period. And anyway, the Bears are going to win this game 17-12.
Wow. The Packers are not going to score a touchdown.
That's right, my friend.
At Lambeau.
They'll have at least 12 in the first quarter. Isn't that what they do?
12 in the first quarter?
And then they're done?
They could. It's funny you mentioned it, though. I noticed that on the broadcast last week. There was like a Bronx cheer every time they like advanced a punt. And TV did a really good job talking about just how absolutely rotten they've been all year.
The punt return game's non-existent.
Oh, just awful.
All right, that is the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. Come out and see us. We're doing a live broadcast at the Brat Stop, and it's presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. Visit KenoshaSubaru.com for details. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.